I do love Christmas. I look forward to Christmas. I don't decorate my house for Christmas, but I'm so glad that you do because I want to drive around and look at all your hard work, and I'm grateful for you. Just don't want to do it to my house. But here's what I think is true for, I think, at least many of us. For some of us, we don't really look forward to Christmas. Some of us, man, I'm just looking for it to being over. I want to get back to the normalcy of it. Some of us really do look forward to Christmas, and man, just the anticipation, and we're going to see family, and there's presents to buy. But inevitably, what happens is Christmas has to be done. And you know, you've got that wrapping paper apocalypse, and you plan for, okay, I've got to return this. And some of you, Amazon's not going to make it in time, and you're hoping against hope that maybe that package will arrive on time, and it's not going to. And it's frustrating, and so then their present is there on the 27th, and you know, family is gone. Or for some of you, depending on your dynamics, maybe you're wishing that family was gone. They're still there, but you're wishing maybe it's time to kind of move on. You know, the kids are still home from school, but they're not getting along anymore, and so there's fighting, and the toy that they really, really wanted, it's already broken, or it's already lost, or it needs some batteries, and I don't have the right size of batteries. There's just all of these extra things with Christmas. There's, for many of us, anticipation, but then it's over. I mean, the thing that we planned for months. Some of you have been planning for Christmas and what Christmas presents you're going to buy. Some of you have been planning it for months, and then in seconds, it's over. Some of you are like me. And you're just as surprised as the kids when they open their presents. And you think, wow, that is great. I'm so glad that you got that. But Christmas always comes to an end. And again, some of you, you're really looking forward to Christmas being over because you've got some relational dynamics that are difficult, or you weren't able to provide for your family the Christmas that you wanted to this year. There's just the extra stress, and there's the hustle, and there's the bustle. There's all these things. But Christmas comes to an end. And here's the temptation that all of us face, is that when all of the lights go down, and when all the decorations get put away, what do we do with the idea and the story of Christmas after that? Because if we're not careful, when I package away all of the decorations and put away the tree, I can, if I'm not careful, put away the message of Christmas as well. And I can say, well, I'm going to pick that up again after Thanksgiving or on November 1st or whenever that happens for you in your life. And so the idea of the series is this, is how can what happened at Christmas be something that impacts our lives going forward? Because if it's just this moment, these few weeks of excitement and anticipation and opening presents and putting up the tree, and then if I put the message of Christmas away right along with the decorations of Christmas, we've missed the whole idea. Because Christmas isn't just a story that we remember. Christmas is, it's a guiding light for us. This is what Jesus did for us. This is why that he came. And so in the series that we're looking at these characters that maybe you've seen or experienced, you've certainly heard about them as the Christmas story, but what can we actually learn about them not leading up to Christmas? Because right now it's easy. Right now for many of us, I mean, we're singing the songs, we've got the lights, and people seem to be in a better mood, and people are bringing food to the break room, and the, you know, the weight that you've tried to work off all year long, who cares now, because there's fudge, and there's cake, and there's all these wonderful things. But what do we do with this story of Christmas? And so in almost every nativity scene, we've got one right here, there's these wise men. Sometimes they're called the Magi. You've got them in your nativity as well. Now, here's what you need to know, and some of you know this and some of you don't. Some of this might be brand new information for you. Even though we have them kind of in the manger scene, they were not at the manger. Like when Jesus was born, they were not there when Jesus was born. There's almost certainly in the nativity scene, there's a lot of times there's three wise men. We have no idea how many wise men there were. We just know that there was three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They traveled about 800 miles or so to be worshiping Jesus, but they were not there when the shepherds kind of came and worshiped Jesus. They didn't see all the cows and all the sheep and everything with Jesus. It says they came to home. And so we don't know for sure how old Jesus was. He could have been as old as 2 years old. He could have been as old as just a few months. But these Magi, these wise men, I think they have something to tell us, not only just before Christmas, but they have something to tell us on the day after Christmas. What do we do on December the 26th with this Christmas story? And what can we know and what can we learn and how can we grow? So here's the big idea of today that we can follow because the wise men did. Here's what the wise men teach us, that we just follow the light that we have. The day after Christmas, When we get back into the routine, when we get back into, I've got to get back to work, and I've got to, you know, return different things, and I've got to get back into this normalcy, and I'm looking forward to New Year's resolutions, and I'm going to try to really do better this year, I'm going to follow the light that I have. Matthew chapter 2, if you have a Bible, and if you want to pull along, Matthew chapter 2 tells the story of these wise men, but verse 1 and 2 says this: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born the King of Jews? Here's our point, that we saw his star. We saw this light at its rising, and we have come to worship him. Again, their journey, they started in modern-day Iran, and they traveled somewhere between 800 and 1,000 miles. I don't know how long it takes to take a trip of 800 to 1,000 miles on a donkey, but I know that it's longer than I want to take. I'm not interested in doing that at all. And so they traveled, and they didn't have all the answers, right? They didn't have, this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and then you're going to turn left, and then you're going to do this. They didn't have a GPS. They just had a light. And they just said, I see this glimmer. I think that God is up to something. I think that God is leading me in this direction. And so even though I don't have any idea what I'm getting into, I'm just going to follow the light that I have. And they do what we are invited to do. They move. Because what's true about the wise men is also true about you, is that God wants to lead your life. And God wants to direct you. And God wants to take your life and bring it to a place that he is calling it to. But what we push back on and we say, God, I want to follow you, but I need this step by step. I need the 5-year plan and then what's gonna happen here. And then, yeah, I'll do that, but then. And what the wise men invite us to is just follow the light that you have. Do you know what your first step of obedience is? And well, then just do that. And I would love God to give me the whole map. I want him to give me this detail and then this is gonna happen. But that's not the way that God works. But what the wise men invite us to on the day after Christmas, when you feel God leading you and God guiding you and God pointing you into the direction, I can just say, okay, God, I don't know how it's all gonna work out, but I can follow the light that you have. Because the tension that we experience, and you just read the scripture, Old and New Testament, what we see over and over again, and I could introduce you to a bunch of people that have had this exact same experience, is that God rarely gives you the whole path. He doesn't give you every single bit of information, but what he does do is he gives you, here's your next step. Here's the thing that you need to do next. And then when I take that step, when I'm obedient to what God is calling me there, then I take the next step. That's what the wise men did. Well, I just see the star. What's going to be there when you get there? Well, I don't know, but I just see the star. I think that God is leading me, and so I'm going to follow today what I know today, and I'm going to trust that God is going to lead me tomorrow when I get there. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp. Now, I'm not that interested in a lamp. I'd rather a spotlight. I'd love him to flip on all the lights and show me everything. But a lamp, what does a lamp do? A lamp gives me enough for one step, and then I take that next step, and I see the next step. Your word is a lamp for my feet, and it's a light to my path. And so this Christmas and the day after Christmas, wherever God is leading you, you say, God, I'm really feeling called to move in this direction, and I have this vision for the new year, and I want my marriage to get better, or I want this new job, or I want to start the business, or whatever it is you feel like God is leading you to, can I just give you this encouragement from the wise men, that when you can't see the whole path, follow the light that you have. Don't wait until you get every single answer to every single question to take that first step of faith. You just follow God with what you know today, and you trust him. God, as I put my faith in you today, I trust that you're going to lead me into it tomorrow. What God invites us to, and it is frustrating, is he wants us to have full obedience even when he gives us partial revelation. The partial revelation is, here's what you can do today. You can apologize. You could start to pay down debt. You could enroll in school. You could try that new thing. You could put the application as, I'm going to be partially led, and I'm going to be fully obedient. And I'm just willing to trust. God, if you have a light that you're shining in my life, I'm going to be willing to follow that, and then I'll do it again tomorrow, and I'll do it the next day. And just like the wise men, eventually, you'll get where God is calling you to be. Now, if God had told the wise men every single step of the way, would they have still done it? I don't know. But if I'm just sitting in my house And God tells me, hey, I'm gonna send you out on a journey. It's gonna take months and months and months. It's about 800 to 1,000 miles, and you've gotta run through dangerous country, and there's gonna be robbers, and when you get there, there's not gonna be any palace, and there's not gonna be any songs. It's just gonna be a house with a little baby, and these people you don't know, and there's not gonna be all this hoopla. Would they have done the journey? I don't know, but I think it would have been more difficult. And I think sometimes in our life, God recognizes, you're not ready for it all. But you can do this one little thing. Jesus said it. We kind of talked about it during communion. I am the light of the world. And so you don't have to have a star. You have Jesus. He is the light of the world and anyone. So you're included in that. Whatever God leads you to the day after Christmas and into the new year, anyone who follows me, you're not going to walk in darkness. It doesn't mean that you know everything. You just know that, man, whatever God is leading me to, he's going to illuminate that part of my life and I will have the light of life. And so Jesus doesn't promise that you'll have all the answers. He promises you can have something better. You can have me. You don't have to know every in and out because you have me. And so here's the encouragement. I put it in your bulletin this morning that if God can guide the wise men from 1,000 miles away, he can certainly guide you into the next season of your life. And I don't know what the next season of your life looks like. Maybe it is a new career. Maybe it's a new opportunity. Maybe it's a relationship. I have no idea. But if God can use a star to guide men 1,000 miles, he can certainly, because of the light of Jesus and the Spirit that's been imparted into your life, he can lead you into your next step. And so the question is, will you be obedient to it? Will you say yes to what God is calling me to today, even though you don't know what it's going to look like in a week or a month? The day after Christmas, follow the light you have. And here's the second one that the wise men teach us, dethrone imposter kings. Follow the light you have and dethrone kings that aren't good. The imposter kings. Verses number 3-8 says it this way. When King Herod heard this, when he heard that there was a baby that was going to be the king, he was deeply disturbed and all of Jerusalem with him. And so he assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people and they asked him where the Messiah would be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they told him, because this is what was written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then Herod secretly summoned the wise men, and they asked him, what was the exact time that the star appeared? And then he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go, I want you to search carefully for the child, and when you find him, report back to me. And then he lied, because I want to worship him too. Now, he didn't really want to worship, but Herod wanted to take out anything that he saw as a threat. You can read a little bit of history. Now, it's not even biblical history. It's just like actual, like you can see it over and over again throughout antiquity. Herod was not a good guy. Herod did not get to the kingship because he was so charming. He was brutal. Caesar Augustus said something along the lines, it's been quoted a couple different ways, but Caesar Augustus said something about Herod, that it's safer to be one of Herod's pigs than it is to be one of his sons. Because Herod would see one of his sons and he would think, they're coming for my kingship and they're coming for my rule, and Herod would kill them. And so Herod wanted so much power and he tried to get it all for himself. And so when he heard that there was going to be this new king that has come into the world, he wasn't interested in worshiping. He wanted to take him out. Verse number 16, if you skip down, you can see what he did. Herod, when he realized that he'd been outwitted by the wise men, he flew into a rage. He gave orders to massacre all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, keeping with the time that he learned from the wise men. Herod was brutal. Herod would do anything to make sure that he stayed as king. And here's what's true about my life, and here's what's true about your life, is that every heart has a Herod. Your heart has a Herod. My heart has a Herod. There is something inside of me that says, I want to be in control. I'm the one that calls the shots. For some of us, it's fear. Fear wants to call the shots. For some of us, it's comfort. Comfort wants to call the shots. For some of us, it's our finances. That this is the way that you need to be. Every single heart has a Herod that says, I want to be king and not Jesus. I want to be in charge and not Jesus. And if Jesus wants to have this little side project and this little part of your life that you pull him out of the buckets and you pull him out of the Tupperwares and all of the decorations go up at Christmas, that's fine. But he can't be in charge. I want to be the one that rules your life. And what the wise men invite us to is we've got to recognize and point out in our own life, what are the imposter kings? What are the kings that try to rise up and say, no, I'm in charge? We sing this song. We'll probably sing it next week. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord. Here's the word, the newborn king. And after Christmas, you and I have to decide, is that just a lyric that we sing, or is that something that I actually live out? Is Jesus the king of my life? Is Jesus the one that's calling the shots? Because every single opportunity that your heart can, it's gonna pop up and say, I'm in charge now. Your schedule will say, no, you gotta fill me up. I'm the one that's in charge. Don't waste time sitting with Jesus. Don't you look at all the things that you could do. Just let me be in charge. All these different things, because of your personality and because of your drive and because of the things that you've got going on, it's gonna be different than mine. But every heart has a heart. For some of us, it's control. That king of control pops up into our heart and says, you can't trust God with this. You've got to take matters into your own hands. You've got to fix it for yourself. For some of us, because of family dynamic and some of the things that you've been through, it's bitterness. And that bitterness is the thing that leads and directs your life. Go ahead and hold that grudge. Don't forgive them. Stay angry. Look for ways to get even. I'm in charge of your life. And so the day after Christmas, can I just invite you to wrestle with the question, what is it that actually rules my life? Not what do you believe in? Because I know that for many of us, you probably believe in the story of Christmas. That's not the question. Not what do you admire? Because almost certainly you admire Jesus. That's not the question. Not what do you sing about at Christmas? Because we all sing the same songs. But what in your life gets the final word? What voice of your life carries the most weight? What shapes the decisions that you make? What sets the direction of your heart? Because Christmas reminds us, the wise men reminds us that Jesus is God's final king. Herod, he's dead and gone, and people celebrated when he died. His kingdom is gone. Rome, the greatest kingdom they thought had ever lived, it's gone. Every empire rises and falls. Every other rule, every other political party, every person that we put our trust in, every opportunity that control comes into my life and bitterness comes into my life, eventually it's all going away. And Jesus is God's final king. And so in this next season of your life, my invitation to you and my invitation to myself is just be willing to, if anything brings itself and tries to remove Jesus off the throne of my heart, I say no. Jesus is God's final king, and he's the king of my heart. He's not just the thing that I sing about. He's not just this little thing that I bring out part of the nativity. It's not just something that I come to a Sunday morning and I hear an inspirational message. No, he's the one that has the final word. He's the one that directs my life. He's the one that shapes the direction of my life. He is the king. He is the one that's in charge, and if anything tries to come up against it, I'm going to dethrone imposter king. So what are we doing? We're going to follow the light we have. We're gonna dethrone imposter kings, and then we're just gonna keep worshiping. That's kind of the big idea of the wise men. They came, they traveled, and what did they do? They worshiped. Verses number 10 and 11, when they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy, and then entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees. What did they do? They just worshiped. Now worship, when we think of worship, we think of like worship music. And we think of songs that we sing. But that's not really worship. Because you can sing the lyrics to a worship song, but not worship. And you can go to your secular job and worship. The way that worship is really happening is the way that I live. What do I do when I see that Jesus has come into my life? How do I respond to Jesus? It's not the songs that I sing, it's the posture of my heart. They open their treasures, go back for me, Keith. They open their treasures and they presented to him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they didn't worship because the Christmas season was so magical. They didn't worship because the atmosphere was just right. They didn't worship because their favorite song was playing. They worshiped because of, this is who I found. I have found Jesus. And when I find Jesus, when I encounter Jesus, I can't help but worship. Now, right now in our culture with the Christmas season, everything is pointing us to Jesus. Even the secular world is playing Christmas music that points to Jesus. The decorations, the lights that are on the houses and the lights that are on the tree, they remind us of the light of the world. The secular world, they can't right now escape talking about Jesus. But December 26th is coming and the lights are going off. And people move on to New Year's resolutions, and then it'll be Valentine's Day, and then it'll be spring, and then it'll be Easter, and then it'll be summer break, and it will be less easy to find Jesus in our day in and day out world unless I'm looking for him. Unless I'm choosing, I'm going to today, I'm going to find Jesus. I'm not going to let Jesus be this aside. I'm not going to let him be somebody that I encounter just once a week. I'm going to set my life. I'm going to set my focus. I'm going to find Jesus. And when I find Jesus, I'm going to worship him. I'm going to worship him on Monday at work, and I'm going to worship him at the dinner table. I'm going to worship him in my conversations. I'm going to worship him with the things that I watch and the things that I listen to. My life is going to be directed as a worshiper because of this is who Jesus is, and this is what he's done in my life. I don't know what your year has looked like. For some of you, you've had a great 2025, and some of it's been challenging. For some of you, you've had more than you ever have had before. The life has just really went well, and for some of us, we've had less than we ever had. But what the wise men remind us is we worship Jesus because of who he is, not what season I'm in. The temptation of my life is to say, when my life is going well, then I'll worship him, of course. But when things are challenging, when the prayers don't seem to be getting answered, when I come to church but I don't really get much out of it, when it's just these long days, what do I do with that? Because again, right now, yeah, of course I'll worship. I mean, life is good, but what about when life isn't good? Well, Jesus, is he worthy of worship or not? Is he worthy of worship because of what's going on in my life, or is he worthy of worship because this is who he is? The wise men decided, I'm going to worship because I find Jesus, and Jesus doesn't change with the seasons. The author of Hebrews said it. He's the same yesterday, on my worst day, today, on my best day, and forever, whatever might come. He's the same. And if he's the same, I worship him. Sometimes I worship him in sadness, and sometimes I worship him in joy. Sometimes I worship him in anxiety. And sometimes I worship him in peace. Sometimes I worship him in anger because I can't figure out why he would or why wouldn't he and what's going on and I don't understand why you wouldn't. And sometimes I worship him with thankfulness because it seems to be going good. But worship is the foundation of life because of who he is. And so what did the wise men remind us? The day after Christmas, man, just follow the light you have. I don't know what God's calling you to in this next season, but I know he's calling you to something. I know that God hasn't called you to just live stagnant, just going through the monotony of life. I know that he's calling you to something, and even when you don't have all the answers, just follow the light that you have. Take that first step. And then when other kings try to bring themselves into your heart, you dethrone those. No, Jesus is the one that gets to direct my life. And no matter what comes in my life, I'm going to live a life of worship because of who Jesus is. And then here's the last one. I'm going to walk a new path. I'm not going to go back to my life the way that it was. When I encounter Jesus, I'm not going to go back to my old habits. I might not even go back to my old friends. I might not go back to my old routine. I'm going a different direction. Now, verse number 12, it says this way, and being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they return to their own country by another route. Here's what's true about you. The day after Christmas, you're going back to the job that you had. You're going back to the family. You're going back to the same bank account. Maybe it's a little bit less now because of all the Christmas presents. You're going back to your old life. The question is, do I go back to my old life the same way that I had been before I encountered Jesus? Or do I go back to my old life a different way? Because I've encountered Jesus, how does that impact the way that I work? How does that impact the interactions that I have? How does that impact the way that I react when I'm angry or when I'm disappointed or when I'm frustrated? The Magi, they followed the light. They confronted false kings. They worshiped, and then they went back. Now, to be fair, they went back because of a threat, but the principle is true in our life, that there is this invitation there's this opportunity, there's the temptation that we all face to say, yeah, you know, celebrate Christmas and sing the songs and go to church and light the candle on Christmas Eve. And yes, it's all wonderful, but when that's all over, package it up and just go back to the old life. Put all that away and it's fine and have that for that little season. But pretty soon it's time to put that up and you need to start going back to your old life. And the temptation, it's just so easy to do that. It's so easy to fall back into our own routines. It's so easy to fall back into our own patterns. But the Magi, they say, man, I've encountered Jesus and I'm going back a different route. And one way you can tell if you've really encountered Jesus is how does that impact your life? Because a legitimate, real encounter with Jesus, it always changes and reroutes the trajectory of my life. It's not possible. I can't encounter the living, final King, Jesus Christ, and remain the same. It's not possible. Now, I can encounter religion. I can encounter going through the routines. I can encounter knowing some Bible verses and knowing words of a song. I can encounter coming to a gathering like this. I can't encounter Jesus and remain the same. He changes my life. And it doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I'm not tempted. It doesn't mean I don't struggle. It just means that I've got to go a different way. Let me read it one more time. Verse number 12, they were warned in a dream. Do you know what God will do for you if you'll let him? That he'll warn your life. He'll warn you, no, you can't go back to that. No, that's not the right way for you to go. And if you have ears to hear, and if you have a heart to receive, like the wise men did, God, in his kindness, will warn you too. He'll warn you, that relationship's not for you. He'll warn you, no, that's not the right kind of people to interact with. No, that's not the way to respond. And what we have to do is, what do I do with that warning? Because the Magi, they weren't obligated to go a different route. They could have ignored that. They could have said, no, I mean, I know the route, I know the way, I met some nice people along the way, I know how long it's gonna take me, I know how it's gonna work, I know where the robbers were hiding, I know the route, and it's easy to get there, I'm just gonna go. They could have ignored it, but it would have been to their own peril. Has there been some times in your life where you've heard a warning and you've ignored it to your own peril? I have. There's been lots of times in my life where I heard that warning lie to the Spirit, you need to go a different route. And I said, no, I know this route. I know the way that this goes. I've done this before. And you know what the greatest regrets of my life are? The greatest regrets of my life are times that I heard the warning and said, I don't think I'll listen. I heard the warning, go a different way. And I said, I think I like my way. And it ended in my peril. And if you'll let him, God will warn you too. He'll warn you about all these little different things of your life. The question is, what will you do with that? The question that you should wrestle with, because some of you know already, what route is God warning you not to take? Some of you, isn't it true that you've been pushing away from it? Isn't it true that you've been seeing some red flags and you've just kept going forward and forward and forward and you've kind of shut down the voice of the Spirit? It's to your own peril. It's to your own peril. And what the wise men remind us is that an encounter with Jesus, it reroutes us. It changes us. For some of us, it's secret sin. Maybe for some of us, the route that we've been taking is, man, everything is fine. I can handle this on my own. For some of us, the route is just fear. That I don't know what it's going to look like the other way. And so I just can't do it. I'm just so afraid. The day after Christmas, you're going back to your old life. The job's waiting for you. Things are going to get back to the routine, but your path, your route could be different. What do the wise men remind us? The day after Christmas, follow the light that you have. Dethrone imposter kings, keep worshiping, and walk a new path. Listen, Christmas, it's soon going to be over. All these decorations that people put out, they're going away. Same is true in your house. They're getting put away. But the message of Christmas can continue. The message of what Jesus has done continues January and through the winter months and through the dry seasons and through the great seasons and through the difficult seasons. And so the day after Christmas, my invitation to you is just keep following. When you put away the Christmas lights, keep following. Don't pack Jesus up with the direction. Don't treat him like this nativity set that you bring out once a year. Don't treat him like a nativity set that you bring out once a week. Yeah, I come to church once a week. That's That's not what Jesus came for. Don't let your faith be seasonal. Don't let your worship be dependent on your circumstances. You just keep following the light, because this is what I'll close with. Jesus didn't come so you could celebrate him one day a year. It's not why Jesus came. He came so that you could follow him every day, every day. This is the light that I have, and I'm going to obey. He left heaven, came to earth, put on flesh and bones. He lived a perfect life. He suffered a brutal death, not so that he could be a little tiny part of our life when it's convenient, so that he could be the king of my heart. What do you do with Christmas? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for these stories that you've preserved for us. And Lord, whatever this lands, I just want to ask that we would be sensitive to your spirit. I want to ask that we would listen to your warning signs, that we would have just enough faith to follow you with the light that you have. Lord, for all of us, Herod, that we have a Herod in our heart. And would we recognize that? Would we point it out? Would we should shine a spotlight on that? And we would dethrone imposter kings. Lord, for some of us, worship right now is easy because life is good. For some of us, worship is so difficult. It comes with tears, and it comes with frustration. It comes with questions. But Lord, I'm praying that you'd give us enough faith to worship you, not because of the season that we're in, but because of just who you are. And Lord, for all of us, would we recognize that you're not just this a side of our life, that we can go a different route that you've called us to. So lead every single one of us today, not just in these moments that it's easy and in the Christmas season, but as we move forward into our life. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.